Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome on in, New York, and you are now the most important city in horse racing America. As we look towards the Belmont and on this post-Preakness Sunday, where California Chrome took home another notch in the belt of the Triple Crown. And by the way, the Knicks are still looking for a coach.
What a surprise.
The NFL draft ended. I mean, we got a big Sunday.
I know all about that. I probably read more about Steve Kerr and the decision that he made and how he made it than I did anything else this weekend, because it was all over the newspapers. And I'll tell you what, they missed out, and the Knicks did, and that's a problem. We may be getting a call in here real soon from a friend who worked the Preakness. He's a big race guy, Rick Schneider. So I don't want to get going too much on a lot of stuff. But the race was certainly pretty much. I'm scouting high school games yesterday. I had the flu for a couple of days. I didn't feel very good, and I was on my back. And I finally got up yesterday, and I felt a lot better. And ended up going and watching two ball games. But I get a text from my son, and it's like, hey, I think ESPN put the Kentucky Derby on by accident because the race looked exactly the same as the Derby. And I said, I told you, Seabiscuit's going to win. He's going to hang out, and he's going to leave everybody, and he's going to win the race. I said, those cheap horses like that, that run like that, have hearts of gold. And he is an athlete. If you look at this horse, I mean, he's built like Secretariat a little bit, only he's not as big. I mean, he's just built like him. He's a smaller version, I think, of Secretariat, and he's got a beautiful chestnut, you know, coat. He's a beautiful color, and I pulled for him, and he paid $3. Where can you get 50% return on your money in 2 minutes?
If you're not pulling for California Chrome at this point, then you can just
You're not a horse guy.
Get out.
You're not a horse person.
As far as I'm concerned, I mean, we have the chance to have the first Triple Crown since 1978, so. I mean, that you have to love that. You have to want to pull for this guy. And, as a horse, I'm new to the horse world, so to speak. I mean,
I married into it.
I've been following horse racing pretty closely for about 6-7 years now. So, which I fall in love with it. And to have a chance at a Triple Crown 6 years into loving the sport, I mean, that whole side of the family has been waiting since 78. You know, every year they go through the same thing. When Big Brown had this exact same thing, and he broke down like day of the race.
Right.
So hopefully California Chrome goes into Belmont. He goes into New York. It's the longest stretch of the Triple Crown. So we got to see if he can hold off right on Curlin, who came alive out of the Preakness.
There's going to be other horses that can
absolutely
be there. Look for Baffert to have like 5 horses in this race.
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be other horses, but I mean, that favor going in has to be Chrome, and if you're a horse person, even if you're not a horse person, if you're just a casual sports fan, you need to be watching this race, and you need to be pulling for California Chrome, because we need all the support we can get to get this guy across the finish line so we can have a Triple Crown.
Well, there's something that he used. He had some kind of nasal strips he used, and you can't use that at Belmont. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, it's going to be a little harder. Now, all the horses use Lasix now. I mean, it's almost impossible, even when a 3-year-old isn't using it anymore, because it just keeps their lungs clean, and they had so many problems with horses bleeding. You know, they breed these animals to run as fast as they can for as long as they can, and it's really, you know, most of them live through, you know, being a racing horse. It's a tough job. I mean, they really don't. They get treated real nice. They don't get paid a lot. I don't
the
think
horse?
They. Yeah, they don't get paid a lot.
I don't think the horse get paid anything.
Yeah, they don't. But I'm just saying. I was making a joke, Roy. But the thing of it is that this horse is special. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
Smarty Jones was special. Smarty Jones almost won the Triple Crown. Smarty Jones ran out of gas. He was a little. I don't think Smarty was as big as this horse. Smarty was a little smaller. I saw Smarty Jones at, in you know, he was in the process of being just starting to be used for stud when I went to Keeneland, and I was down there and I went to all of the farms, and I mean, just to see, you know, the stalls these horses live in, and they've got their name in gold, you know, on their, all they do is get washed, get cleaned, and have sex every day. It's just such a tough job.
Not a bad life, huh?
No, it's a good gig if you can get it. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy Edwards is here. Matt's on the box, my buddy Matt Lynch, and this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's going to be an interesting day. I've got a Maury P. Gonzalez, a guy I met in spring training, who's going to be on at the turn of the hour. He's going to be on at 11:05, and we'll probably do a couple segments with him because I've never met a guy more interesting than this. He works for Fox Sports. He has the radio and television gig with the Angels and the Oakland A's for Spanish speaking. It's like ESPN Deportes, only it's Fox's version of it. And he's great. I probably spent 2 hours with this guy talking to him in the press box, which press boxes aren't that exciting, trust me. I mean, unless you're sitting next to somebody you really like or know. As a matter of fact, in Scottsdale, I would start in the press box, and by the second inning, I was sitting in seats Boach had given me, and I'd go behind a dugout and do my story or get ready for my interview or whatever.
They're pretty quiet. Nobody. You're not allowed to cheer first.
Well, yeah, you can't cheer.
It's pretty much you're just sitting there.
Well, yeah, and not only that, there's certain guys in there that run it, and you know, and they think they're really funny, and some of them aren't. But having said that, I've made some good friends down there. Andy Baggerly is probably the best San Francisco reporter, although Henry Shulman will take offense to that. And I love Hank. Hank's great, but. You know, Hank was the guy that told me I couldn't cheer for somebody when I said, "Get down, ball." That was all I said.
That's right. Yeah.
Get down, ball. Did you cheer just a second ago?
Don't do that.
I did. You can't do that in the press box. Then he found out I was one of Boach's oldest friends, and all of a sudden I was pretty cool. You know, so, you know, whatever. Anyway, we're gonna have a great show coming up. We've also got a guy that wrote a book.
Yep, it's called Winning Fantasy Let me pull that up. It's Winning Fantasy Baseball.
Yeah, you can tell we haven't read this book, but we're gonna interview this this person. And there's nothing more fun than fantasy baseball. I'm actually in scorecard. I'm in a scorecard league, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of scorecard leagues run by a guy out in California. And I didn't even know what kind of team I'd end up with. I adopted a team, and I'm doing it just because an old friend of mine I played high school baseball asked me to do it. And I'm actually tied for first place. Only my team sucks. We can't hit the ball, but I have Johnny Cueto. I have Vargas, and I have the San Francisco bullpen. So, you know, those were the only people I added. You got to keep 13. But it's interesting, and everybody likes fantasy sports.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't do fantasy football during NFL football season?
I mean, there's women leagues now that are all 100% women leagues that draft on, you know, the college they went to or who's the hottest out there. Everybody plays fantasy football. But if you're playing fantasy baseball, we got a great guest. His name's Larry Schechter. He is a world-renowned fantasy baseball champion. He's going to share some of his insight. He is a 9-time national champion. And he wrote the book Winning Fantasy Baseball. So if you're in your leagues, you're in your rotisserie leagues, some of your guys went down, you know, anything. You want some pointers on your fantasy baseball league, this is the guy to go to, and we will have him on later on the show.
Yeah, I'm working on having Dr. James Andrews on the show, who, as everybody knows, is the top guy when it comes to orthopedic surgery. And he's the guy that's actually doesn't have enough time to do all the TJ surgeries that he's having to do right now. Unbelievable what's happening in baseball with these people. And I've got some ideas about that. And Mr. Andrews does too. We'll probably have him on either next week or the week after. Really looking forward to listening to Dr. James Andrews. It should be one hell of a show the day he's on. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
we're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome, everybody, to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's a beautiful day, Matt. It absolutely is. And right now, I don't want to waste any time because I've got one of my favorite people out west, a guy by the name of Jess Root. He is he's with SB Nation. He also writes Revenge of the Nerds. I'm sorry, Revenge of the Birds. I'd love to say that I did that on purpose, but I didn't. That was hilarious. Hey, and let me ask you a question, Jess.
And we
talk about this from time to time. In Washington, D.C. and in New York, you know, NFL football, except for the Yankees pretty much in New York, is number one. And then it's baseball. Is it the same way in Phoenix?
Actually, it kind of depends on how the Diamondbacks are doing. They're the youngest of all the franchises out here, so they get people jump on board when they're interesting, but right now it's not so interesting. So it's still a Phoenix Suns town overall.
Is that right? Wow,
yes.
That's unbelievable. Now I've been to the Suns games when I'm out in Phoenix, and it's a great time. And you know, usually, come to think of it, it's pretty much a full house when I'm out there too.
Yeah, it's the Suns. They've had a long run of success over the history of the team, and they've been around the longest of all our pro teams. So there's been 2-3 generations of fans here, as opposed to other ones. Diamondbacks might have one, maybe two, just now growing up.
Yeah, you know, being an expansion franchise, but being successful, and also being, you know, in an area where baseball is part of the economy during spring, especially because of spring training. The D-backs, obviously, if they have a good team, they'll have followers. We have some big news out there, and I've never heard of a CBO, Chairman of Baseball Operations, but I just did yesterday and the day before. Tony La Russa was named Director of Baseball Operations for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Sending a message, aren't they, to Kevin Towers, would you say?
Oh, most certainly. I mean, they essentially took all the baseball decisions away from him. I mean, Kevin Towers still running things. However, that may not be for long. He's a guy that Lewis is reporting directly to the team president and CEO, Derek Hall. And so, I mean, it's kind of the writing's on the wall. Unless things get turned around and unless Towers has the same vision as Tony La Russa does, he's going to find himself out of the job. It's going to be an evaluation period between now and whenever Lewis decides to start making moves.
You know, I've known Kevin for a long time, and he is a good baseball man. He did a great job in San Diego, but that was with virtually no money. So nobody really made too much light of him. I mean, San Diego did go to the World Series once against the Yankees back in 90. I want to say it was 98. When they beat Atlanta and the Cardinals and ended up playing the New York Yankees and being swept. But nobody thought much of them being swept in San Diego at the time because, you know, they were spending $30 million a year and the Yankees were over 200. That was Derek Jeter's rookie year. Actually, that must have been even earlier than 98. Well, no, I think that was. That was probably their second World Series. Now, you know, the D-backs were in the playoffs 2 years ago, Jess. Is that right?
Yeah, going on three. It was 2011.
Yeah, it was 2011. They win the division. They, you know, get into the playoffs. And I don't think, you know, I think they lost, you know, fairly quickly. Things didn't work out. But there was a lot of excitement there. Now they get one of the worst starts you can get. They're in dead last place in a tough Western division in Major League Baseball in the National League. The one thing that's changed, and, you know, I have Boach on the show, you know Boach, and I've had him on several times because we go way back. You know, the one thing that's changed with Kevin Towers is ever since Boachy left San Diego and went to San Francisco, he's had different managers. You know, first he had Bud Black, who a lot of people give a lot of credit to. What do you think of Bud Black, personally? I mean, just from a standpoint of the way he does business.
I really, everyone across the National League West, I like how the manager, their approach to managing, I like their demeanor. But yeah, I mean, they haven't had the results at all, and surprising he's been there as long as he has based on, I mean, granted, he's kind of in a situation that Padres were in before, that they really didn't have anything to work with, and they're kind of building that up. But I like the demeanor, and I like the way he goes about managing the game of baseball.
You know, what do you see happening in Arizona? I mean, what do you see La Russa doing? Do you see him maybe trying to put some deals together, getting Towers? Because, you know, anytime you get into a situation where you may be double figures games back by the time, you know, you get to the All-Star game, you know, it's time to start cutting, rebuilding, isn't it?
Really, it should be, especially considering the team was sort of built around building or gathering the talent to be able to improve the team now. They went from being in the playoffs to having two consecutive 500 seasons, really sort of now. Maybe it was a little bit of expecting or hoping for some overachieving on some of the players' parts. This thing just panned out. But then to trade away over the course of the past two, three seasons, a stable full of really young, talented pitchers for bits and pieces. They got Addison Reed. They got Didi Gregorius, who's right now in the minors. They picked up Mark Trumbo, who's injured right now. They were supposed to make more noise than they have.
Right.
So with those results, it's just disappointing. And so you have to look at shaking things up somehow.
Yeah, who's playing short? Because Gregorius, I was under the understanding last year that Gregorius was going to end up being the guy. And, you know, I didn't see anything he did wrong anytime he was in there. I mean, he's a tough young left-handed hitter and plays a great shortstop. What's going on, do you think?
Well, it was simply because they had another prospect in Chris Owings, who has been fantastic. And he was the National League Rookie of the Month. He's hitting over 300. Didi is a plus glove and at best an average bat.
Right.
But Owings gives them a plus bat in the lineup. And his defense is nowhere near what Didi can do. However, he makes up for that with his bat. I mean, he's been very good. He beat out Gregorius. And so that's a depending on what happens, they may move one of the or both of them. They might move Owings positions at some point, but they like him in the lineup these days.
Well, you were saying earlier when we were talking before we were on the air, I mean, Tyler Skaggs used to be with them. I forgot all about that. They drafted him, right?
No, actually, they acquired Skaggs from the Angels when they traded Dan Herron originally.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then this past offseason, they traded him back to the Angels as part of the deal that brought over Mark Trumbo, which was supposed to be their big power bat in the lineup to put their offense, get their offense over the hump and protect Paul Goldschmidt.
You know, the Angels are another team that have to be taking a pretty strong look at their general manager, Jerry Dipoto, and, of course, his relationship, usually rocky, with manager. I'm watching too much college baseball lately. With manager Mike Scioscia. Even though these guys are head coaches, they don't like to be called coaches because there's guys making a lot less money than them underneath them being coaches. Just a baseball thing.
Right.
We got about a minute left in this segment, and I really appreciate. We're talking to Jess Root, Revenge of the Birds. Which is his huge, great blog that he does on the Arizona Cardinals. But Jess is also a baseball guy. He's with SB Nation. Jess, what do you predict? How many games back do you think the D-backs will be at the All-Star break? Because I don't see them getting back to 500. My God,
they have to play like 700. They'd have to play 600 baseball for the rest of the season to even get close to 500, and they can't win a game at home, it seems. So, no, they're going to be out of it, and they might approach the team that they're probably going to always be, which is a 500 team, but I would expect, you know, from here on out, playing 500 ball, not approaching 500 for the season.
No, I totally hear you. Jess, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking a little bit about La Russa. Obviously, it seems like, and I think you agree with me, Jess, it's everything's in motion right now, isn't it? There's going to be a big change.
And this has been in the motions for a while. La Russa, I mean, they've got guys around the organization that La Russa's familiar with, Dave Duncan, Roland Heyman, as a special assistant. So I think this has been kind of in the works for a while. But things are going to be changing. It's going to be his moves, his vision, and why not? I mean, he's got a track record of great success in baseball.
You got it, Jess. Listen, I'll be giving you a call to have you break down your NFL draft out there with the Arizona Cardinals here real soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, man.
Jess Root, everybody. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, obviously. Yes, Matt always tells me, you don't have to say that. They know you're back. I know, but I like to warn people when my voice is getting ready to go out over the air.
Very underrated Disney movie, by the way. We're back. Great, the dinosaurs.
Oh, I remember
great
that
movie.
Show. Remember the show Dinosaurs?
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
My favorite show of all time.
It's on Netflix now. You can watch every episode.
It's the most popular non-cartoon comedy kids comedy show ever.
Is it really?
That's why you never see it anywhere. It's worth too much money.
But not the mama, right? That's what you're talking
not
about.
Not the mama.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. I'm definitely not the mama, but I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm talking to Roy Edwards, my buddy. Did we get a call?
If you like dinosaurs, you have to check out Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's
yeah.
Awesome.
And I haven't seen it, but
they
I heard
have
it was
a lot of
things.
The original cast.
My son loved dinosaurs so much. My son Davis, when he was little, that he started biting kids when he was like third and fourth grade. And if you want to get everybody's attention in a preschool, start biting kids.
That's a good way to do it.
But he did it just to play. He thought it was cool, and we had to kind of teach him it wasn't
cool.
Because
he was biting him, the baby.
Yeah, he was.
I had a proud moment this week. My son kicked another kid in the crotch to get his attention. So
well,
he got called in for that one.
Well, that's a little different.
Maybe it's a soccer family for you.
You might want to pay attention to like some of the shows he's watching, because they do kick people in the groin a lot. I was watching 24 this week. But I was watching Beyonce and Jay-Z, and her sister kicked him in the crotch two or three times. Excellent. One of them was right on the mark, too.
He was getting them.
You know what? I can imagine being Beyonce's sister. That's got to be a little frustrating. Remember the show The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner and the late, what was the girl's name? It was
Whitney
Houston.
Yeah.
The late Whitney Houston. Her sister started killing people.
Did she really?
Yeah, yeah.
She was married to Bobby. That whole situation was crazy. Wasn't she married to Bobby Brown? They did a whole bunch of cocaine and... Right, that was Whitney, right?
Yeah.
All right, I just want to make sure I'm not like.
But that was just the '90s.
Throwing
that's
the wrong
how
person
happened.
Down the bus. Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you know, it's one of those things that if you're lucky to live through it, you know, you live through it and you don't do it anymore. It's not a good thing. I'm Bruce Hall. We're talking about movies right now. Hey, listen, I wanted to also let everybody know that didn't know this. Tony La Russa was just signed, given a job. He reports directly to the owner, evidently. Of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Kevin Towers does not report to Tony La Russa. Now, Tony, earlier I said he was 70 years old. I was close. He's 69.
It's about as close as you can get.
He looks pretty good for a 69-year-old unemployed attorney. But, you know, Tony has a pretty good track record when it comes to managing in the major leagues. He's done a great job. He's a great baseball guy. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his because I say that, but if he called me tomorrow and wanted me to do some work for him, I'd do it. Smart guy, is only going to improve the Arizona Diamondbacks. But what this does, Roy, is it sends a message to Kevin Towers, the general manager, and, in my opinion, to Kirk Gibson, who I just get tired of looking at. I mean, I don't know why I don't like Kirk Gibson, and maybe it's because he never smiles. I think if you're not having fun in your life, you're doing the wrong thing. And when I see a manager that never smiles and always looks like he's having the ass for somebody, that's ASS, the donkey. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a problem with that. If you're playing baseball or you're anywhere near the major league level and you have a job, you should thank whoever you pray to every night and every morning and thank him for, you know, putting you in a position where you can be happy and do what you want to do. But certainly there's going to be some Jess was telling me that to get to 500 by the All-Star break, they'd have to play 70, win 70% of their games. So this is a group that's going to be looking to make trades. They've traded away a lot, the Arizona Diamondbacks I'm talking about. They've traded away a lot of really good pitchers over the years to try to improve their team. You know, they made a deal for Mark Trumbo in the offseason. They've still got some really good prospects. But when you look at the National League West, I mean, Colorado's right there. The Giants are right there. The Dodgers, evidently, Yasiel Puig, as much crap as I give him and everybody else mm-hmm. and all this stuff, he's the first guy since like the 1920s to have an RBI or something in 10 games in a row and score at least a run in 10. I mean, they're just an unbelievable thing that he's doing. He's also got 35 RBIs already. He's on a pace, you know, to have 130, 140 RBIs by the end of the season. If he's like Bryce Harper and quits running into walls and, you know, diving all over the place trying to do something. But it's hard to really
Dial somebody down, you know?
You can't really do it. You really can't. Troy Tulowitzki, let's talk about him for a second since we're talking about baseball. This is Colorado Rockies shortstop. He's from the Bay Area originally. Been hurt off and on. You know what he's hitting at home? He's 35 for 59 with 7 home runs and 23 RBIs in 17 home games. Hey, Roy, do you think maybe that cigar holding, whatever you call it, that's supposed to be, you know, making these balls a little, you know, not as hard or not be able. Yeah. Do you think that, what do you call that when it's a
humidifier?
It is a humidifier, but it's a humidor.
Humidor.
Do you think that maybe it's not working anymore because everybody is scoring a lot of runs there, especially the Rockies? The Rockies were on pace to set some Rocky records. And if you remember back in the day, that's why they built the humidor. Because it just, you know, they'd win at home. People come there and they'd crush the ball. Then they'd go away and nothing was happening. And obviously when you're a mile high, mm-hmm. you know, the air's thinner and the ball's going to travel more. I don't care if it's a golf ball or if it's a baseball, it's going to go further. But just amazing, Tulowitzki, 35 for 59. He is obviously the National League All-Star shortstop already. You know, shoot, if he got hurt now, he'd probably get voted in, I would imagine. We're going to be talking to somebody here before too long about a new book that's come out. What was the name of the book, Roy?
Winning Fantasy Baseball.
Matter of fact, we're waiting right now for that mm-hmm. for that call. But we're going to continue to talk about the band. Let's just go over the standings real
sure.
quick. You know, the most competitive league. A division in the American League right now
is the East, right?
Absolutely the East. And you know what? It's not just the East in the American League. It's the East in the National
yeah.
League. There's 4.5 games separating Tampa Bay, who a lot of people picked to make it all the way this year to the World Series. They're 4.5 games back in last place, in fifth place in the American League East. And they're going to turn it around. Everybody expects them to. But so far, Baltimore, they're tied, a virtual tie with New York. Toronto's a half a game back. And Boston is below 500. And that makes Yankee fans happy. Yeah. I know that. It kind of makes me happy, too, because I'm not a big Boston fan. I was a Boston fan until they won that World Series. And
I feel like everybody was a Boston fan that year.
Yeah, well, you had to be because it had been many, 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 many years since they had been there.
Just like everybody secretly is a Cubs fan. When if you're not a Sox fan, a White Sox, that is.
Yeah.
And the Cubs are in the playoffs, everybody would break out their blue caps, you know, especially if their team was out. Mainly if their team was out. But everybody has that kind of soft spot for the Cubs. What has it been? It's been 100 years plus, I think, since they've really been significant.
You know, the Mets are down here finishing up a weekend series with the Nationals. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they shut out the Nationals. They got the Gio Gonzalez, or Gio Gonzalez let him in the door yesterday. He couldn't spot his fastball. He couldn't spot his breaking ball. And before you knew it, it was 5-0. And that was the final.
He's slumping right now.
Well, you know, actually the final was 5-2. They ended up getting two runs because Ian Desmond, on a breaking ball that looked like it was getting away from him, threw the bat at the ball and it went like 390, 400 feet in the left field stands. You know, these guys have so much pop nowadays. They can square up balls with one hand and the ball goes out of the park. And Desmond is a specimen. I mean, he's if this was old-time Oakland A's, we'd figure he was on the juice, but he's not. He's a good guy. There's no doubt in my mind that he does everything the right way. And, he had some problems early on. There's a lot of people. The Yankees, you know, I love to watch the Yankees. There's so many different ways to see Yankee games. I mean, there's so many shows about the Yankees. They're on all the networks. I like to watch Yes. I mean, that's, you know, all the stuff going on with them. But, they're doing a great job in the East, and they're doing it really without a lot of their top pitchers. But how about this kid from Japan?
Yeah.
Tanaka, mm-hmm. Masahiro Tanaka. He is an ace. I mean,
he looks like every bit of what they paid for him.
Well,
right?
You know what? Not only when they paid him that money, I thought about it. And I thought for a while and I said, "Man, how do you know he's going to be that good, cuz that is a lot of money?" Guess what? Whoever the scouts were that brought him in, I was surprised there wasn't more competition here. At the major league level, and I know there was some. I mean, it had to be Seattle. Definitely wasn't Oakland. They're not going to spend the money for him. But Seattle was involved. Pretty sure Boston was involved. I don't think Atlanta might have been involved slightly. Because they had to pay for the right.
Right, you had to pay to even talk to the guy, and it was some ridiculous amount. I don't remember how much it was.
$20 million, was that what it was? I want to say, at least. And I got to tell you, this kid has been everything, but he's only 24, I think, years old, and you can look it up. And all this stuff, for those people that always that listen to me, I'm pretty close on all this stuff.
He's 25.
So
you were pretty close.
He probably just had a birthday.
That's the same. You're just
– Davis will be 25 in November.
You probably still think it's 2013 because you thought La Russa was what? You thought he was 70 and he was 69.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought Tony was 70 and he's just 69.
So you're just a year behind everybody.
You know what? But knowing Tony, the kind of guy he is, he's a pretty arrogant guy, you know, and he's a good-looking guy, you know, and he's he likes to party a little bit is what I hear. I know he runs every day. Because when I was in San Francisco for the National League playoffs and the All-Star game, guess who you could go out and watch run at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning? You know where he runs? Downtown St. Louis. He runs around the stadium and runs some route. And then he runs back in the stadium and runs around the field a couple times. He's done. He probably does three miles, 4 miles. But he stays in really good shape. And you can tell looking at the guy that he cares a lot about the way he looks and the way he feels. And you know, with the stress level of what these managers go through, they need to run. You know, they absolutely. Bochy swims. That's what Bruce does because he's got a bad knee. And I hope he never has to have that knee replaced because you can tell watching him walk, man, he works hard when he's walking. But when he's swimming, you know, when you're in a pool, it's not nearly as bad. It's so much better for you.
Like one of the number one rehab spots is the pool. Whenever you hurt any of your joints, you get in the water.
Horses. Mm-hmm. That's what horses. Yep. Horses train in the water. Yep. Some horses race so well when they get older by keeping them from running on the ground because it pounds their joints so bad. But when they're in the water, they're still getting the cardiovascular benefit, but they're not tearing up their
it's
joints.
It's easier on the joints and everything. You saw that in the movie. And the Disney movie actually captured it pretty well. It was the... was it Seabiscuit?
No. That what it was? Yep.
Yeah, where they're doing the rehab towards the end of the movie with the horse, and you see that crane that they put the horse in. It's kind of like a jacket, and they lift them into the water, and they start swimming, basically. But, water rehab, that's the best way to take care of your joints. So, yeah, Bochy knows what he's doing.
All animals are naturals to swimming. There's only a couple of animals that when you drop them in water, they don't try to save themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Matt is one of them, actually.
Pigs may be one of them. Hey, listen, let's get back to the standings. The National League East, you've got Atlanta a half game in front of Washington. You got Miami is virtually tied now for the lead with Atlanta because they won last night against San Francisco. And, you know, Miami is a big surprise. Yeah. They're 14-5 at home, but they haven't played that well on the road. But they've already won
17-5
Yeah, they're 17-5 They're good,
but on the road, not.
Yeah, but not the, but so they but they're getting ready to win. They're getting ready to maybe win 2 out of 3 from the Giants if the Giants aren't careful. Then you got the New York Mets, and who knows what the Mets are going to do? It's hard to tell. They kind of started. They stopped hitting the ball. They really haven't been hitting the ball all year, and their pitching staff is kind of a mess. There isn't a real closer. You know, they're not really sure where all the moving parts are going to go.
And but only, I mean, they're only what, the 2.5 games out of the lead. Which if you, if you can tread water around the 500 area, because Miami, they're number one, they're ace. He just had to have Tommy John surgery.
He's done.
So you got to think that at some point the rest of the Marlins are going to slow down, and if you can hover around that 500 mark, you might be in striking distance come later in the season.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294. Or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I'm going to finish going over the standings, Roy, real quick. And
sure.
We're not going to give our picks until the last half hour of the show. And by the way, our picks on the weekends have been pretty unbelievable. But anyway, Baltimore, as we said, was leading the East. Atlanta leading the East. Atlanta isn't even hitting the ball. I mean, they were getting some phenomenal pitching, and everybody's catching up to them because their pitching hasn't been quite as good. Julio Teheran got knocked out of the box in 3 innings earlier this week. You know, their pitching staff is in trouble. They were already in trouble when they started the season. In the Central Division of the American League, Detroit is leading. They're 6.5 games out in front. Behind them, Minnesota, Kansas City at 6.5 and 7 games back. Chicago, White Sox. You know, without starting pitching and a good bullpen, they're never going to be competitive in the Central Division. And Cleveland is still struggling. They're 19-24, 9.5 games back. In the Western Division, and this is the division, in my opinion, which is you know, as tough as the East, probably. Oakland, no surprise, 3.5 games out in front. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 23-19. They've kind of steadied everything. Seattle, 20-22. They're 6.5 games out in front or behind. They're in a little bit of a slump. They've lost 7 of their last 10. Texas is the big surprise. They're 20-23. In my opinion, this might be Ron Washington's last year. I've called for his firing for two.
You have to think that time's running out.
I look, when I saw him manage in the World Series in 2010, I thought, this isn't the guy.
Well, with all the crap that was surrounding him in the past, you know, the was the cocaine?
Well, that was a long time ago. I mean, he's come back from
that. All that stuff even started to come up a couple of years ago, but they were good, and they were, you know, they were a stone skips away from the World Series, and now they're starting to drop back. You have to think that his leash is getting a little short with the media, you know, surrounding him and, the bad news.
Daniels has to do something.
Absolutely.
He has to do something because a lot of people think Daniels isn't worth the damn. Now, I know better than that. You know, Daniels is a good GM, but he's not, you know, it's not about just how good the GM is. It's about the chemistry between the GM and the manager. You know, I started to make a point with Jess Root because I listened to that. I listened to Jess when he was just on again. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I brought up Bochy and Towers was that Bochy and Towers were like one. You know, and Bochy and Sabian are like one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look at the Giants in the last 5-6 years.
They've
been as good as anybody in baseball.
They had one down year, and it wasn't even it was a bounce back.
And
year.
When Bochy was in San Diego, he and Towers had some great years together. Twice, you know, making the playoffs, going to the World Series. And this is a team with virtually no money. Mm-hmm. You know, virtually no money. So, you know, it's you got to do something. And honestly, I just don't think Ron Watson, you know, there's a lot of problems in Texas. Nolan Ryan, you know, there was that Nolan Ryan thing. Now he's in Houston working again. So we're going to see what happens.
And that's a tough division. I mean,
except for Houston, who's a triple A team.
They're not very good. But everybody else in that division, I mean, Oakland has a great pitching staff.
Oakland's going to be in the World Series this year.
The Angels have Mike Trout, among other people. You know, Winnie the Pooh-holes is starting to show up a little bit. So, I mean, it's Seattle.
Oh, he looks good.
He's looking like he's getting his legs back under him.
Wait till they get Josh Hamilton back healthy, which is one of the things I'm going to ask Amory P. Gonzalez. Amory P. Gonzalez is going to be on at the turn of the hour at 11:05. You got to listen to this guy. I have so much fun talking baseball with this guy. He's going to be on. We're trying to get somebody on right now to talk a little bit about the fabulous New York Rangers. I almost called Scott O'Neill, who's the GM who we had on, 2 weeks ago, Matt? He's the general manager of the 76ers. And he's a big Ranger fan. Now he's in Philly. You know, I didn't ask him when we had him on the show 2 weeks ago if he was going to end up being a Flyer fan or not, because I knew what his answer would be. It was probably, that's a really tough question for me to answer, Bruce, because he'll always be a Ranger fan. But I want to talk a little bit about the New York Rangers. I mean, they are playing some great balls. Matter of fact, they're the hottest team in the NHL right now. I'm just hoping that they get hooked up with the Angels. We got somebody on the line. This should be interesting because they have about, I don't know, 8 minutes. Hello, who's this? Hello?
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 Hello, you're on the air.
You're on the air.
And he hangs up. That's all right.
That was good. That was excellent.
Great call.
Yeah, that was a great. What were we think? Was that your dad? No, I don't know.
Probably.
But
he's just punking us.
But anyway,
checking the phone lines.
I'm going to go through the National League standings. But anyway, I'm picking Oakland to win the American League right now. I just think it's Oakland's year. I do. Atlanta. No way. You know, I'm not picking anybody in the East. In the National League, when you get to the Central, Milwaukee, remember my buddy John Nairn, the hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers? I like watching them play. They're 11 games over 500 right now. And I picked St. Louis to what? Win the World Series this year.
He did.
And St. Louis is 4 games back of the Brewers, and I should be rooting for the Brewers. Now, St. Louis is going to get better. Cincinnati looks horrible. Now, they made a change. They got Dusty Baker out of there as the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, and they got a brand new rookie manager, and he's struggling terribly. Pittsburgh Pirates, Clint Hurdle, my man, you're 9 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers on Sunday, May 18th, 2014.
They have the most quality starts, though, don't they, in Milwaukee right now? Their staff?
They got a great staff, and they've also got 17 saves out of Frankie Rod.
Did you see what Garza said about the Cubs?
He
went out and he lost to the Cubs, but did you see what he said before him?
Yep.
How you just need to pitch your weight out of Chicago.
Yeah, he dissed them.
There's nothing in that city but hope.
I'll take Garza. He's one of the only guys, if you ever watch Matt Garza pitch, he has a retainer that he just messes with his tongue.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's lost some teeth, but he pitches with it in his mouth.
Huh.
There's no way that's a mouth guard.
You don't think so?
It looks too thin to be a mouth guard. And why is he pitching with his retainer in his mouth? Maybe he doesn't want to smile and there's no teeth showing anyway.
Maybe.
San Francisco is, let's go through that. Pittsburgh, then Chicago Cubs. Pitch your way out of Chicago for sure. San Francisco is leading the West, but they've got some problems. Angel Pagan dove for a ball last night, might have injured his shoulder. That sucks because he's also on my fantasy team. My points, it's not a point streak team, it's a scorecard team. Colorado is playing very well for the Colorado Rockies. They're getting decent pitching. They're also getting, record setting hitting. We were talking about Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah.
He's just one of many guys that are doing the job with the bat. Los Angeles Dodgers are always going to be the Dodgers. They've got problems. They've got chemistry issues.
You
got
to think that they pass the Rockies.
But no. Not now. Clinton Kershaw gave up the first home run he's ever given up with his curveball earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. And yesterday he gave up 7 runs in an inning and 2/3. And if Kershaw is injured, this is the number one pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Without argument, pretty much at the start of the season, if he is done for any length of time, that is going to hurt the Dodgers' chances to win 90 games and be where they need to be. San Diego Padres are doing it with mirrors as usual. They've got decent starting pitching, although their big starter, a rookie that that started earlier this year, he's out right now. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are already in panic mode, as we talked about and as Jess Roop talked about. They've hired Tony La Russa to right the ship. Now, if Arizona goes out and wins, you know, 11 of 13, they'll be a game over 500. Nobody sees that happening, and I don't either. I really don't.
No, I think this is a rebuilding year for the Diamondbacks. They were not that bad. A couple years ago, they were in the mix.
No. In 2010, the Giants beat them on the last day of the season.
Yeah.
That was 4 years ago, and that was an unbelievable run they had. But then they blew a 10-game lead mm-hmm. late in the year. The guy I was trying to remember, by the way, Andrew Cashner, he's the number one Padre guy. He's on the disabled list with a sore elbow. Oh, my God. That sounds like he may be taking a visit to Birmingham or Orlando, Florida to see Dr. Andrews.
A little bit of TJ in there.
Yeah, who we talked about. And by the way, Prince Fielder, herniated disc in his neck, will miss at least 2 days. He's been given a nerve-blocking injection.
Who is that?
Prince Fielder.
Man.
I texted my son right away because he's on my son's fantasy team. If Prince Fielder goes on the DL and needs surgery or something, that is not going to help the Rangers, who are already struggling.
Here's some news for you, by the way. This just came across my ticker.
Okay.
Nats put left-handed pitcher Gio Gonzalez shoulder inflammation on the 15-day DL.
I knew it. You know why? Because he's struggling. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder. You know, I think they can read an MRI any way they want. I think you can look. I think there's inflammation everywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one reason that it's probably true that he has the inflammation is because his velocity on his fastball was like 91, 92. And a lot of times, Gio, remember, he used to be 94, 95 last year. And he throws that. And when your fastball is down, your curveball is down. Mm-hmm. Now, he did struggle yesterday, and he's had a hard time. I think in the first three innings of games Gio starts, his average against is 346. In the next three innings, it's like 218, which means he's not ready to pitch when he goes out there. I think that has just as much to do with it as anything else. But we'll see for sure. You want to get started? Let's do this because we were expecting to talk fantasy football this session.
Baseball, but yeah.
This segment. I'm going to tell you who I like in today's games. And if you're out there and you're thinking about making a wager offshore or whatever, or if you're just looking at a game mm-hmm. and you want to have a little something going for dinner with your
looking
best
to bounce
friend.
Back from all that money you lost yesterday at the horse track.
Oh my God! Well, I got to tell you though, if they took my advice and bet on Seabiscuit and they just used Seabiscuit with everybody else, they'd have been all right. Oakland and Cleveland, I'm passing. I got to pass because I don't like Oakland away from home. I'm not a big a Chavez fan, but he's pitched great. He's 3-1. He's 7-1 when he pitches, but I'm going to pass on the game. You got King Felix for Seattle, who has been struggling as of late. His last three starts, 4.50 ERA. He's going up against Ricky Nolasco with Minnesota, who they've been playing really well, considering they don't have that much. I'm passing on that game. I'm passing on anybody that the White Sox or Houston play right now. In other words, I'm passing on those two teams, and they're playing each other. So I'm passing on that game
just
completely.
Get out of that game, yeah.
Ubaldo Jimenez has me a little scared, but I like Kansas City today. With James Shields, they're minus 150. Take it. Even though Ubaldo, in his last three starts, 19 and two-thirds innings, 2-0, 0.46 ERA. I'm still taking Kansas City. I really like them. Toronto is at Texas. I'm passing. Dickey's going up against Martinez. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Tampa Bay is at the Angels. You got David Price, who now all of a sudden is starting to pitch, although he's pitched seven innings against the Angels and given up a 7.71 ERA. First start for Shoemaker. He's pretty good. I'm going to pass on the game, though. Detroit, Anibal Sanchez, who I like a lot, against Jake Peavy, who last time out struggled. I'm going to pass on this game, too, because Boston needs to win too badly. You go to Cincinnati at Philly. Cliff Lee, 0-2, but with a 3.10 earned run average. I'm going to pass on that game only because Philadelphia scored 11 yesterday after going 20 innings in a row without scoring any runs. You know what? I'm going to take Philly. Take Cliff Lee. He's only when do you get Cliff Lee minus 137? Take Cliff Lee, and here's my pick of the day, Mets fans. Take Washington because Jordan Zimmermann is going up against Wheeler. In my opinion, Zach Wheeler, this is only my opinion, is starting to look like he's having arm problems. The last couple of outings, he hasn't looked very good. His last three starts, 14 innings, 5.65 ERA, Roy. What does that tell you?
This is not very good.
It's not good news. He's another one of these kids that's probably pitched too much. We're going to be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Hall's second opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm on the line right now with a gentleman that I met during spring training in Scottsdale, Arizona. We were sitting in the press box at Scottsdale watching the Giants play somebody. It might have been the A's, Amori, because that's who they were playing that day, I think. And I met Amori P. Gonzalez. Amori, tell everybody what you do out on the West Coast and what you do everywhere.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And good morning, everybody up there in New York. Yes, I was. It was the Yankees. I mean, the Giants and the Oakland A's when we met in spring training. I've been broadcasting Major League Baseball for 38 years. I was born in Cuba. I've done some English broadcasts. However, in the past few years, I've been doing Spanish. From the Oakland A's, I got my start with the Oakland A's, where Charlie Finley was the owner in the mid '70s.
Wow.
And I've been broadcasting on radio for a long time. The last 5 years, I come down here to Southern California, and I work for Fox Sports West, and I have the privilege to work do the play-by-play in Spanish on TV for Fox Sports down here. It's on cable, Time Warner. We go around Southern California, Arizona, Nevada, and my partner is a very good man. As a matter of fact, he caught a foul ball in our booth last night. Jose Mota is the son of Manny Mota, legendary. A great hitter and a pinch hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I've been doing this for a long time. I'm the only guy, I've been told in the country by some senior writers, I'm the only guy right now doing radio and television in two different markets. Same division, as a matter of fact. My teams are 1-2 right now. I don't know what that means. But, yes, I've been doing it long enough. I still enjoy very much what I do. I dabble in writing, too. I'm a journalist, basically. I wrote a lot. But the last 20 years or so, I've been doing a lot of radio and TV.
Well, the thing that I enjoyed the most about talking with you, and you can kind of tell, because within 15 minutes, we knew we liked talking to each other about baseball. And I hated leaving because, you know, normally I don't really like sitting in the press box too far away. I like to sit in the seats Boach leaves me, which are like first row right behind the dugout. I can actually see better down there. But occasionally you will meet somebody that you'll never forget. And that was what it was with me and you. Let me tell you this. The Oakland A's, you and I both are we're big fans of the A's. Now, we're not allowed to cheer. That's one of the things we were talking about that earlier today. When you're in a broadcast booth, you're not allowed to cheer. But deep inside, a lot of times, you do cheer for your own teams that you cover and so forth. The A's, you know, you talk about, in our opinion, Billy Beane has just done remarkable things with them. You know, a lot of people didn't buy into Billy early on, but Billy was way ahead of his time. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I definitely agree. And to be honest, the Oakland A's have always been in my heart. That's I try, and I am objective on my broadcast. I think I am. Of course, when you're broadcasting your home team and they hit a grand slam at the bottom of the ninth, if you can't get excited, you have no blood pressure. So basically, I don't root for my teams, but I do like the A's a lot. But you are correct, Bruce. what Billy Beane has done with this team in Oakland is incredible. You tell me how many major league of the 30 teams in the big leagues, 15 initially, can lose two main starters and still be on first place with the best record in baseball. The Oakland A's are 27-16. They tie with the Milwaukee Brewers as the best two teams as far as records are concerned. They lost Jarrett Parker right out of spring training, Tommy John surgery. What else is new? Everybody has Tommy John now. And then they lost A.J. Griffin, another starter. So what does Billy Beane do? In spring training, he talks to Bob Melvin and management. He makes Jesse Chavez a starter. Of course, Chavez never been a starter, only a couple of starts in Toronto a few years ago. He's terrific. They got Sonny Gray, the number one pitcher, taking over for Jarrett Parker. He's 23 years old. This kid is incredible. And then they got Drew Pomeranz, who was living in the minor leagues in Sacramento. They bring him up and make him a starter. Billy Beane, to make a long story short, Bruce, has a terrific touch, especially when it comes to pitching. Here's the best example. Nobody wanted to touch Scott Kazmir, who had Tommy John surgery years ago. He was a tremendous, promising star. He signed Scott Kazmir to 2 years for $22 million. But yesterday he was thrown out in the first inning.
I saw
that. He's 4-1. He got a terrific start. So he does have the magic touch. On a team with a payroll that right now is around $70 million, which for baseball is peanuts, the team I do here in Anaheim is almost $160 million payroll. That's sixth biggest in baseball. So, yes, what Billy Beane does in Oakland, it really amazing. It really is. Not only pitching, Brandon Moss, a guy who didn't amount to much, he's been hitting 30 home runs a year playing first base. So he gets these players who have not had success in other places. Of course, they do not pay a lot of money. The two highest paid players in Oakland, Coco Crisp in center field, the veteran, and the Cuban kid, which I know very well, Yoenis Cespedes,
right.
He's a terrific player. The problem with him, he gets injured quite a bit. But they do have a tremendous nucleus of players. And may I say, Bob Melvin, not because he's won two managers of the year. He won one in Arizona a couple of years with the A's. He's a great manager. I think he's really underrated. Bob Melvin is still young. He's 51, 52 years old. Communicates well with the players. And it's just they have a good thing going in Oakland.
Let me tell you, there a lot of people don't pay enough attention. And you know how good Bochy and his staff are in San Francisco. The A's have exactly the same situation going on there. They've got Chili Davis as their hitting coach. Chili Davis is a great former hitter, and he communicates well. He's a nice guy. Kurt Young's been their pitching coach for like 3 or 4 years. He's done a great job. You know he has. But the guy I really like that nobody ever talks about is Mike Gallego. Mike Gallego is an infield. From what I understand, when he was a minor, I can't remember who he was with. It wasn't Oakland, but somebody told me he was the best roving infield instructor they ever talked to, and he makes a big difference with these guys in the way they field and throw a ball. Now he's got phenomenal managers. It's like if you're a major leaguer and you want to win and you want to play. They don't seem to trade or draft anybody that doesn't eventually play in the major leagues for them.
Yes. Now, Mike Gallego is a terrific guy. I know him from a long time. He used to be a great utility player for the Tony La Russa teams in the 80s. I remember in 88, we came down here to L.A., and, of course, the famous Kirk Gibson home run who beat Dennis Eckersley in the first game. Everybody talks about that game like a seventh game, and it was only the first game of a World Series.
That's
but
right.
But the A's were loaded, over 100 wins. They got Canseco, Maguire, Ricky Henderson, Steinbeck, and yet the Dodgers beat us. But Mike Gallego wasn't that team. He was with Tony La Russa. Tony took him briefly to St. Louis, and then Gallego came back to Oakland. He's a great guy. He's a third base coach. I think he could be a manager, I think. But, you know, it's up to him. He never told me he wants to manage. And I talked to him many times. I asked him. He kind of looks the other way. But he's very comfortable being a third base coach for Bob Melvin. And he's a great guy. He works very hard before the games. That's another thing. The A's do a lot of drills on the field. Their spring training is very, very, very loose, but very disciplined at the same time. So, yes, Gallego is one of those guys that you really love. Because he simplifies, he he's baseball. He's one of those guys who, that's what he does. He's done that all his life.
No, absolutely. And I'll tell you what I really like what they've done. Because 2 years ago, these guys weren't even in the system. John Jaso, they picked up from the Tampa Bay Bucks. Great left-handed hitter. You know, a decent catcher, just a really good athlete. Jaso could play probably first or third or left field, too. He's that good of an athlete. He steals bases. But how about Derek Norris, this guy they got in the Gio Gonzalez trade? This guy's an animal, isn't he?
Yes, I called that game maybe 10 days ago at the Oakland Coliseum. He hit 2 3-run home runs at 3-0 pitches in consecutive innings and drove in 6 runs. That's a record for the A's. The A's have some pretty good catchers. You can go back to Ray Fossey, of course, who's now a commentator on TV for them and radio sometimes. And you got Terry Steinbeck and Ron Hassey. So, but anyway, yeah, he was great. and Jaso has been, here's the thing, John Jaso has been leading off, hitting first. Can a guy that slow? He hits. He gets a home run once in a while opening a game. Yeah. He gets some base.
Yeah, so,
sometimes Bob Melvin does stuff that's very unconventional. On the other hand, and I don't want to mention the guy, but there was another manager prior to Melvin.
Oh, yeah, I
remember
Rod
Jay. Yeah, Rod J. Davis used to tell me when he came to the clubhouse, I got no idea what I'm doing today. Now, Melvin tells, I'll be ready. Melvin takes, if I'm Melvin and you're playing for me, I said, Bruce, I'm going to play you next week when we travel to Anaheim. You're going to play second base for me, like in the case of Eric Sogard.
Right.
He alternates platoons with Alberto Callaspo. The man can communicate. I told Melvin many times, someday you're going to be a general manager. He's very, very versed in baseball. He's well-read. Very disciplined. He throws his hands up in the air. I don't want that job. But right now he's a manager, and he's a damn good manager. I think Bob Melvin, that's one of the reasons. And I know people in the East Coast, of course, you guys don't see the games down here. You know, when we ended the game here, it's already like 1 in the morning in New York and then in the East Coast. But the A's have one of those teams that a lot of people, when I travel, they ask me, how do they do it? Well, they do it because they get players who want to play ball.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened. Some players that do not do much in other organizations, they come over here. And I know that a couple of years ago, last year, the movie Moneyball.
Amori, can you hold a minute? Hold on for the next segment. I got to do an announcement, and we'll be right back. Okay, but don't hang up. All right. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'll be back with Amori P. Gonzalez in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm on the line with Amori P. Gonzalez, the voice of the Oakland A's and the California Angels, especially if you speak Spanish, right, Amori?
Yes, sir. Hey. Mainly in Spanish here in the Southern California as well as in Oakland. I have done, however, a couple of Caribbean World Series in English for Fox International in 2000 and 2001. We used to travel a little bit, but now it's done from the studios. But yes, I've done some English broadcasts. I was born in Cuba, so, you know, it's in my blood. You know, I have to confess. Tell you a little story. I just talked last week in Oakland with this Cuban kid who is there. Right now is the rookie of the year, first baseman and DH for the White Sox, Jose Abreu. And I asked him about that beautiful swing he has, right-handed. It seems effortless, and the ball just goes. He got 15 home runs over 40 RBIs. And he told me, I have to tell you this because you're a baseball guy, this is a baseball show. He told me that in Cuba, his dad, since he was a little boy, used to fill a bag with rocks and throw rocks to him, give him a little stick. And he just starts swinging and swinging for hours and hours. And that's how I learned. But I thought it was an amazing story. But this baseball has so many amazing stories. And Cuba is a very poor country, obviously ruled by the Castros for over 50 years and no relations with the United States. So, but he opened up to me very nice. I talked to him. As a matter of fact, part of the interview I translated, and it was aired by Ken Korak on the English Oakland A's English Radio Network, the Jose Abreu interview. which it was really nice. But it was a beautiful story that he said, no, I just learned it myself. My father used to go to an open field in Cuba, and then he used to throw rocks to me, and I grab a little piece of wood, and I would swing at the rocks. And that's how I developed this swing. And now the guy got 15 home runs, leading the American League, and he's one of the best rookies, one of four rookies in history with 15 home runs and 40 RBIs in the first 40 games. So there you go.
Yeah, he's a remarkable ball player. Unfortunately, he just went on the DL today. But
yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and I saw him run the other night after a hit, and he looked like he wasn't 100%. But he'll be off the 15-day DL probably pretty quickly, hopefully.
It's that ankle tendonitis.
Yeah, and he's a big guy, so when your ankle's bothering you, you know, I mean, that can become a problem. Go ahead.
He is a big guy. When I sit next to him, and you can, you know, some of these guys, when you're in the press box, they look big. But when you're next to them, that's another story. And I was talking to him. He got huge legs. And he reminds me a little bit of another Cuban player, Tony Perez. Perez played with a big red machine with Joe Morgan and Bench and Cesar Geronimo and those guys with the Sparky Anderson, the big red machine in the 70s. And he's one of those guys. He can drive the ball up the middle. And he got terrific power. I'm sorry he's on the DL. At least he's not pitching, because if he was pitching, usually he will have Tommy John surgery, which, as you know, that would be another show.
No, absolutely. And I tell you what, and we're talking right now about having James Andrews on. This has been a horrible year for that. And we could talk about this some other time. Let me ask you a question. The California Angels, who you're very close to, as a matter of fact, you're getting ready to go cover them for what, 10-game homestand?
Yes, I'm in a 10-game homestand. Today is the last of four against Tampa Bay. Last night, C.J. Wilson pitched a complete game and shut out 6-0, a terrific pitching job by C.J. Wilson against Tampa Bay, who's slumping a little bit. They have one of my favorite managers, Joe Maddon, very unconventional, keeps everybody loose. But, I'm getting ready to do that game in a couple hours.
When is Josh Hamilton going to come back? I mean, how badly is he injured?
No, I saw him talking batting practice the last 3 days really early, like for the 7 o'clock games we're in the park, like at 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Right.
He's probably coming back, I would say, but he has to go to rehab, you know, have to see live pitching in Salt Lake and AAA. And according to Mike Socha, he's very close. And Socha is very diplomatic. He doesn't tell you what day, you know, managers, how managers
sure.
speak. But we think by the end of this month he should be back. Another guy who's been kind of a disappointment is David Freese, who suffered a fracture right thumb, his right hand, when he was hitting him. But he's almost coming back. And they have a kid here who really plays hard. Cole Calhoun is the leadoff hitter. He got injured the first game of the year, the first week of the year, the 16th of April. I was doing that game from here, and he's coming back. So they're getting the troops back. They can put a few runs on the board. They can score. The interesting thing, Bruce, is Mike Trout is in a slump.
Yeah.
Yes, he hit a.
I know.
Yes, he hit a walk-off home run, the first one of his career, last Thursday, and he won the game. I did that game, but he's been striking out. He got over 50 strikeouts, and he needs to make more contact. I don't worry about him. I mean, this guy is an absolute stud. I mean, he looks, he's a huge kid, 22 years old, from your part of the world there, from Millville, Southern Jersey, Vineland, New Jersey. He's a big Phillies fan, by the way, and Derek Jeter is his favorite player.
Yep.
And when we gave that surfboard here to Derek Jeter, he was there smiling, and he looked like a little 10-year-old kid, you know, because that's his idol. But, yeah, the Angels, the Angels right now, they're in second place. They're 3.5 games. They're playing their best ball. Last year at this
right.
time, they were next to last.
Yep.
They're 23-19. But the Angels' problem, Bruce, is their bullpen. The bullpen has been an absolute disaster.
They don't have a closer. You know,
they don't know. Ernesto Freire, yeah, he lost his job. They got Joe Smith. They signed him for a 3-year deal from the Cleveland Indians. He's a sidearmer, but he's not a closer. And so that's their problem. Their starters are not bad. Jared Weaver pitched terrific a couple of nights ago. He didn't win because Chris Archer just pitched a better game, and that's baseball. Sometimes you pitch your best ball and you still lose. And C.J. Wilson was terrific last night. They got Garrett Richards.
That kid's an air. He's unbelievable. He's a big, big stud. You know, sometimes he reminds me of a college pitcher. Sometimes he doesn't know where the ball is going, but nobody hits him because they're scared to death of the baseball.
Oh, he's a terrific pitcher. Probably the biggest guy who nobody knows about, because, like I said, here in the West Coast, unless you really follow the game, he's 4-0. He got a fastball 96, 97 with a late-breaking slider.
He beat
and
the
Nats. Even Jared Weaver.
Yep. Yeah.
Weaver said he's the best pitcher in our staff. And Jared Weaver is a guy who won 20 games a couple of years ago. So, you know, yeah, he's terrific. So the starters are not really the problem. There's one guy who hasn't panned out is Hector Santiago. They send him to the bullpen because he was 0-5. And people were writing down here in Anaheim, is he the next Joe Blanton? Blanton couldn't win last year. So Absocia didn't want to go there, so he asked him to go to the bullpen. And, of course, the kid says yes. He's from Newark, from the New Jersey area, Hector Santiago. So he's back in the bullpen. It's their bullpen. The bullpen is the problem with the Angels right now. I think Pujols is having a good start, you know, not great, but much better than last year. He's not hurt. And they do have a good lineup. I got to give it to them. The lineup is good. I don't know they have enough to beat the A's, to be honest with you, because they're pitching. The A's pitching is just incredible. But we'll see. It's still only the middle of May.
If they beat the A's, I have a few slips from Las Vegas that are not going to be able to be cashed in. I took Oakland to win the American League at the end of football season, right at the beginning of football season this year. And I really like I like Oakland's chances to win it all. They're one of the few American League teams, in my opinion, that can play with a National League team. They always seem, am I wrong when I say they always seem to almost dominate the San Francisco Giants? When they play San Francisco, they get up for those games. There's a little bit of competition there between Oakland and San Francisco. Why don't you explain what that's all about?
Well, the Bay Area, they have a terrific rivalry. Of course, it's not like the Dodgers and the Giants or the obviously not the Red Sox and the Yankees or the Cardinals and the Cubs, but they do have a very good rivalry. I think it all really began in 1989. I was there at Candlestick Park October 17 when that earthquake happened, and the A's, I told everybody they were better than the Giants before and after the earthquake. They swept the Giants, and it's been like that for a long time. And, of course, the Giants have always been the darlings of the Bay Area, which has been a National League area. They have a beautiful park now. I used to broadcast from the Giants when I did a few years with them, when Dusty Baker was there, and you couldn't throw anybody at Candlestick Park. It was 5,500 people on a even on a rare warm night at Candlestick. It's an awful place to play ball.
Right.
But they built this beautiful park, AT&T Park, there next to the Bay, and then now they sell out every game. But you're right, the A's dominate the Giants, and that's one of the things in baseball. We were talking in our telecast last night here, C.J. Wilson this year. When he pitches, his team scores 8 runs. Now, there's no explanation for that.
Right.
Right? I mean, are you going to tell me he's paying his players? Hey, you're going to get a hit for me today. Baseball is probably the toughest sport there is. I mean, really, if
Absolutely.
You want to hit a home run, you probably 90% of the time you can't do it. So there's things that make no sense. Matt Cain is one of those guys years ago.
Right.
He got an under 3 ERA, but the team never scored when he pitched,
right.
And he got no support. So, you know, but yes, the A's do, you're right, the A's do dominate the Giants, and they're really, I mean, it's the beauty, the fascination of baseball. Some stuff has no explanation. It just happens, Bruce.
Well, hopefully one of these days soon, the A's will get some kind of funding for a new stadium. I know they want to build a new stadium. They seem to be drawing okay, though, and with their payroll, they're probably not in too much trouble. We got about 1 minute left, Amori, on the segment, and then we got a break, and I know you got to go. You got a lot of work to do today. Hey, listen, if you could just put into one word, I mean, one word, the California Angels and their future, what would it be?
You mean to put one word into
the
Angels?
Do you think they have the potential? Like, do you think they have enough potential to win in the American League? Can they beat Oakland, or is Oakland going to be the team again?
I don't think they can beat Oakland yet. I don't think the Angels. They do have all the money in the world here. They compete with the Dodgers in the same market, you know, with Puig and Kershaw, who got blasted last night, and, of course, Greinke, who looks like he's the Tanaka of American baseball. Is not going to lose this year. No, I don't think this year. I really don't know. I'm not a betting guy, but I would say the A's are the favorites. I'm not saying that because they're in first place. I'm saying that because the A's have a system. They play with an urgency. I don't see the Angels play with that urgency. Maybe because everybody here makes $100 million, whatever.
Probably why.
The A's play, Yeah, the A's, Bruce, they play with urgency. They play like every game counts. I'm not saying, again, the Angels don't do that, but I see both teams, and I can tell you, honestly, the A's play very hard every game, and they got players that are underrated, I think, and they're coming into their own, and players that didn't produce any place else, they produce in Oakland, and hopefully someday they'll be in San Jose, but that would be, like you said, another show.
I hear you.
The commissioner is going out.
Amory, I can't. Hey, I hate to cut you off because we got a break. But Amory, thank you so much for calling in. Amory P. Gonzalez, everybody. If you ever get a chance to listen to one of his broadcasts, especially if you speak Spanish, I was just thinking, one day we got to do a show together, but you'd have to be my translator. We'll be back in
a
minute.
There you go.
We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. Thank you, Amory.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here, and we're going to continue the baseball talk. But instead of talking about the players on the field and DL and surgery and everything like that, we're going to go to a lighter side of sports, like we promised everybody out there, the fantasy world. As we bring in now Larry Schechter, the author of Winning Fantasy Baseball, and he is he's the first ever two-time champion of the CDM Sports National Salary Cap Challenge. He defeated 7,500 people one year and then another 6,000 another year. This guy knows his fantasy sports. Larry, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So first, my question is...
Baseball only or football too?
Larry, what was that?
Do you do baseball only or football also?
No, I also do football. I used to do a lot of fantasy basketball. I don't anymore. And a lot of the concepts in my book is written entirely about fantasy baseball, mm-hmm. but a lot of the concepts also apply to football and other fantasy sports.
So I saw that throughout the book you have you talk about a rating system, the dollar value of players. And look, I played one season of fantasy baseball, and I was terrible at it. I'm a fantasy football guy. That's kind of where I live in my fantasy realm. But you talk about the value of players, the dollar value, and how if somebody is $21, for instance, and then you have them rated as a $20.80 player, you pass on them. How do you come about those dollar ratings for your players?
Well, in rotisserie baseball, it's more complicated to figure out a value than in points baseball or points football.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to design an intelligently done value formula, which there's a chapter in my book about how you do that. It's a little bit complicated, but once you learn it, it's something that is extremely helpful to have. And so a value is a two-part process. First, you're going to project what stats you think a player is going to produce for the various categories that your league uses, whether you're projecting those yourself or using, you know, your favorite website or magazine, what they project. And then you convert that into a specific value using, as I said, an intelligently done value formula based on your league categories. And that gives you a number. So if the value is, say, $20 and you can buy a player at an auction for $17, that's a good deal. If you pay $23 at an auction, that's a bad deal. And, you know, the same kind of concept applies if you're in a snake draft where you're not bidding on players, but if you don't really know what players' values are worth and you're kind of, you know, taking a shot in the dark thinking, well, I think this guy is more valuable than this other guy, but you don't really know, then you could be drafting players, you know, drafting a guy who's worth $15 and passing on a guy who really is worth $20 or something.
So there's in fantasy sports, everybody has their own kind of way to draft, I guess. Like I said, I'm a fantasy football guy, so I never take a quarterback before the sixth round. I'm always looking for a deep value in a quarterback because I think they're spread out. In baseball, is there a specific way that you like to draft? Is there a position that you'll wait on to get better value later? Or are you taking the best available based on that system that you just talked about?
Well, it's the best available, but you need to factor in position differences. In fantasy baseball, there's a notion of position scarcity. A lot of people think that catchers and middle infielders are scarce and you should pay a premium for them. And in reality, I think there is definitely scarcity for catchers, but there is really little, if any, scarcity for middle infielders. And in my book, I have actually different chapters. I have one chapter about a snake draft, one chapter about a minor league option, one for mixed option, salary cap, because they're all different nuances. And I show how, you know, in my opinion, this notion of scarcity for middle infielders is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So you have to allow for the differences in position. If you're at a snake draft, you need to know, well, how much of a premium should I put on a catcher? If I can take a $15 catcher instead of like a $20 outfielder, you know, should I do that or should I only do it if it's, say, an $18 catcher? So you need to know how to know the exact difference for position. And the same thing applies in football. I think, I would not go into a football draft and say, well, I'm not going to take a quarterback before the sixth round because, you know, there could definitely be a quarterback that when you allow for the differences in position, there could definitely be a quarterback that would be a good deal for you in mm-hmm. potentially any round.
Right.
Hey, Larry, let me ask you a question. This is Bruce. I was involved in Wayne Welch's Biggie Baseball Pool back in the mid-80s, and it was actually written up in USA Today back then because Wayne evidently worked there for a while and he knew some people, and it was a big deal. We would spend like $400 a team to get into this, and it was an auction just like you talked about. You know, he didn't even like the idea of drafting because it was kind of more, you know, it's just a lot of luck of the draw, and yeah, knowledge helps and all that, but the auction is great. I like that. Are you familiar with box score? The box score leagues?
I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it is.
I have never seen anything like it. I got involved this year because of somebody else. And I got to tell you, you got to pay attention because we play 162 games a year. And the computer literally plays one team against another. Does all of the things that you talk about in your book can reflect onto something like that too, correct? In other words, you know, just on yeah. who you're looking for and what. And I understand what you're saying about the middle infielders because we found that out in the 80s. You know, everybody wanted the top shortstop or the top second baseman. Generally speaking, back in the 80s, there weren't that many second basemen that really did much, but there were a handful of them, two or three or four of them, that had dominating stats. But if you didn't get one of them, it didn't matter who you got. That's what you're talking about, right?
Well, people still have that notion. You know, there's a lot of conventional wisdom in fantasy sports, and most of it, in my opinion, doesn't make any sense. And there's a couple of chapters in the book where I go through a lot of general option and draft strategy. And I explain some of, you know, my thinking, and I also kind of debunk a lot of the conventional wisdom that's out there. And the thing is, it's not a question of who are the top second basemen. Are there three good second basemen? Are there five good second basemen? It's a question of what are you going to get at the end? What are you going to get in round 23 of a snake draft? Or what are you going to get for a dollar at the end of an auction at second base? And if that player is worth a dollar, then there's really no scarcity.
Right.
There's no reason why you have to have a $30 second baseman and a $1 outfielder as opposed to having, say, a $30 outfielder and a $1 second
right.
baseman.
Right.
The only difference is if you're overspending for the second baseman because you think you got to get a second baseman is really good, you spend $35 for the $30 second baseman, or you take a second baseman in, like, you know, the first or second round of a snake draft because you think you got to reach for that guy, then you're losing value.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can you tell me about, you know, there was, Roy mentioned at the start of the segment that you were involved in a couple of contests, I guess.
A lot of different leagues. He's in a USA Today sponsored league.
I mean, that to me, those numbers were staggering to win with that many people involved. Was there a substantial amount of money involved or no? It was just kind of a...
he's won a lot of money.
Have you won a lot of money?
That's the CBN Sports Challenge, and there are entry fees for that, so you pay money to be in it, and
right.
there are prizes for winning your league in the overall... And I won it in 2002 and 2005. There was a $25,000 grand prize, so I did win some money.
Mm-hmm.
I should have waited because now the grand prize is $50,000, so I should have waited a few years to win it.
But you did win it twice, though, right?
I won it twice, and I was the only two-time winner mm-hmm. in that until last year. Somebody else won it for the second time last year.
Well, listen,
Dave Petrozillo, I got to give him a shout-out.
No, absolutely. Now, you're a stand-up comedian, too, right?
Not anymore.
Oh, come on.
I'm not sure if I'm done. I think I'm probably done, but there's a chance I might do it again. But I haven't actually done it in about 4 or 5 years.
Let me tell you something. There's nothing better than stand-up comedy. And if you were a stand-up comedian for any length of time,
yeah, that takes
you got a great personality. And I'll tell you what, you got a great personality for sports. Because if you can't joke about sports, you can't joke about anything.
The book is Winning Fantasy Baseball. We're still here with
Larry Schechter. How do we order one? Can you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of the book?
Yeah, it's on Amazon, it's at bookstores, it's available for Kindle, Nook, it's on iTunes, and there's more information about it on a website, which is winningfantasybaseballthebook.com, and it's designed for all levels, from beginner through experts.
Now, Larry, you live in upstate New York, correct?
Yeah, I do, near Albany and Saratoga.
And you're Albany, the pretty good lacrosse team, the college lacrosse team, actually, they just got knocked out last night, but they're a number one scoring team in the country. I had to bring that up. But you live in upstate New York, but you're a Red Sox fan, so how does that work out?
Dangerous.
Well, there's actually, in upstate New York, it's something like 30 or 40% Red Sox fans, and then the rest are mostly Yankee fans, so there's a lot of us up here.
It's not that far to Boston from up there.
No, it's almost as close to Boston as it is to New York City from where I live. The weird thing is that when I first started, getting interested in Major League Baseball, I was a Twins fan. From the time I started at maybe age 12 or something till 17, I was, probably the only Twins fan in the state of New York. That was weird.
Hey, could you mind if I ask you what year you graduated high school?
I'm 76.
Man, you're more my age than any. No wonder you're a Twins fan. On my honeymoon, I watched the Twins win a World Series.
Really?
1983? I'm sorry, 1987. It was when Kirby Puckett won the MVP. It was unbelievable. I was in St. Martin, and the Twins. It was the year that each team at home won a game, and the Twins had 4 games at home, and the Cardinals had 3. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on, and I'm going to get one of your books, I may get more than one and use it for a gift.
The book is Winning Fantasy Baseball, guys. Go check it out. Thanks again, Larry.
We got Larry. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Just when you thought we were done talking about Johnny Manziel and the NFL draft, up pops a story that a lot of people are talking about. There's two sides to this story. There's two ways to look at this story. I am probably on the more uncomfortable side, the side that probably a lot of people are not taking. But the story is that Johnny Manziel was sitting at the draft day. Everybody saw the slide that he had. He went number 22nd overall to the Cleveland Browns. A lot of people thought that he may be a top 10 draft pick. Maybe the Browns were going to take him with number four overall pick. But while he was sitting there, besides drinking beer and the 20,000 waters that he had, apparently he was using his cell phone. And he reportedly texted the Cleveland Browns.
Texted! Can you believe that?
He texted him. He said, hurry up and draft me, basically, is what he came out and he said. He texted the quarterbacks coach of the Cleveland Browns. And in an interview with ESPN Arkansas, the Browns talk about this text message. They said, we're sitting there and they keep showing Johnny on TV. And Johnny and I are texting and he shoots me a text and he says, I wish you guys would come get me. Hurry up and draft me because I want to be there. I want to wreck the league together. He goes on to say, when I got that text, I forwarded it to the owner and to the head coach. I'm like, this guy wants to be here. He wants to be part of it. As soon as that happened, Mr. Haslam said, pull the trigger. We're trading up to go get this guy. So Johnny basically
sold himself.
He sells himself.
Good for him. Good for him.
So the question is,
good for him.
Do you like this out of a guy texting you and saying, come draft me. I want to be there. I want to get drafted. There's two sides to this. There's the guys who are like, Johnny, shut up and go sit down. And right. then there's the side that I'm on where I'm kind of like,
I can't wait to see him play.
I want to see this guy.
You know what? I almost wished he was in Washington just so I could see him in the preseason.
You have to like a guy who wants to be in
Cleveland. I'd rather see him than the guy from Michigan State. Seriously, I would.
You don't like Kirk Cousins?
No, I hate Kirk Cousins, and I'll tell you why. Brandon Boykin mm-hmm. has been almost an all-pro for 2 years since he was drafted by Philly, and he was available when we drafted that quarterback. Mm-hmm. Just like there were probably some guys that are going to end up as starters in the NFL
yeah.
that were available when the Redskins drafted a freaking kicker in the seventh round yeah. this year. The Redskins are terrible. Mm-hmm. I don't care. We were bitching. I can say that.
Yeah, you said that.
We were bitching about how bad our secondary was this year. Mm-hmm. And there's an all-pro guy that can cover slot receivers and everybody else and return. Oh, by the way, remember how we didn't have a kick returner?
Yeah.
He returns kicks, too. Brandon Boykin, University of Georgia. Thank mm-hmm. you very much. I screamed about that, and a couple of beat writers from in the Washington area, who will go nameless, tweeted me back tweeted me back yeah. and said, you don't know anything about it, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. Okay, whatever. See how many snaps Kirk Cousins gets in Washington. And see what he eventually gets sold for. It won't be a fourth round. It'll be like a sixth or seventh or nothing.
Part of this, before they were going up to get Johnny, there are other reports that Kirk Cousins was in trade talks with the Cleveland Browns for a fourth-round draft pick because there's a guy named Kyle Shanahan who's now the offensive coordinator in Cleveland who is in love with Captain Kirk. So the reports were that Cleveland was willing to offer a fourth-round draft pick to the Washington Redskins for Kirk Cousins, and Allen said, no, I don't want anything to do with that, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with keeping Kirk Cousins at this point because you have a quarterback. Your starting quarterback is one injury away from bagging groceries down the street. So I feel like you're kind of handcuffed to him at this moment. But with Johnny Manziel and him texting, and everybody already thought
that.
Everyone already thought that he was going to be a media magnet, okay?
Yeah.
He was already going to be this guy who's bigger than the game. He gets up there, he gives the money signs, you know, apparently after texting the Browns to hurry up and draft him. So are you okay?
I'm perfectly all right with that because that's who he is. That's who he is. That's who we're getting.
So you know who you're drafting in this text message, just Johnny being Johnny.
Well, listen, first of all, somebody in their organization, and Tony Mazur qualified this and confirmed it with me, somebody did tell him that he was going to be a backup. And I can't remember, and not to start acting like a backup, but they did tell him this isn't Hollywood. You know, you just drafted a guy with the 22nd pick in the draft. It mm-hmm. is a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Give the guy a little respect. I mean, or why did you draft him? I mean, I don't understand the Cleveland Browns. Maybe I never will understand the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this will be something that goes on from generation to generation. Your kids will never understand why the Cleveland Browns suck. Your kids' kids may never understand why the Cleveland Browns suck. Once somebody leaves Cleveland and travels to a city like, I don't know, let's pick one, Pensacola, Florida, maybe they'll not understand why they moved from Cleveland. I mean, I don't get it. I don't care to get it. It doesn't matter to me. I will say this. There is there's a little news about a certain Manish Mehta, who I like a lot, with the New York Daily News in New York City. A woman who accuses Jets defensive coordinator Dennis Thurman of slapping her says encounter was scary. You know, nothing surprises me anymore. And I know who Dennis Thurman is, and I'm sure it was scary because, you know, big old, you know, heavy duty, you know, former defensive back who, you know, can get pretty angry from time to time. If he slapped me and I was a woman, I'd be a little scared too. And if he did this, I don't know if putting a guy on some kind of a probation or finding him is going to be enough. I mean, you don't want this, do you? Do you want a guy running around slapping somebody?
No, you don't.
Well, if the truth comes out and they you know go forward with an investigation of this and he's found guilty of this, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, unfortunately we've
seen
this
a lot. Keep your hands to yourself. I mean, that's what you tell your kids, right?
And unfortunately, we've seen this a lot this offseason. We have Ray Rice, who you know, had his longest carry of the season.
Boy, has that been hushed up.
Fiance out of the elevator, which from all everything that I've heard surrounding the Ravens organization, which I'm part of the Baltimore media, so I get all of their press releases and anything that they send out. So, and everything surrounding the Baltimore Ravens right now is they're expecting that Ray Rice is going to be the starting quarter running back week one.
Oh, absolutely! So if he's healthy,
they're saying, oh, well, you know, this is just part. You know, this is nothing. It's just a little hiccup. You know, he shouldn't have done it. But this guy's facing real charges. Okay, he could get in big trouble. So, I mean, there is something wrong with the NFL right now, where it could potentially damage the overall image of the NFL with all of these players coming out and doing all kinds of things. And I feel like the NFL does a decent job of controlling some of its players.
I think it's up to the individual teams. The league office can't be held responsible for what teams' players do. I mean, that comes down to
it hurts their brand.
Well, here's what they can do. The NFL office can start finding the hell out of the teams. Mm-hmm. Because if they start having stuff like this on a regular, think about this for a second. There's how many people involved with a team once you've made cuts? Let's say 50, because it's less than that and more than that at different times, okay? And coaches, you got an additional, let's say 20 coaches, okay? That's 70 people. You can't make sure that out of 70 people, somebody doesn't commit a felony every year? I mean, think about it. That's two classrooms full of kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go into high schools and probably walk into a high school and pull out two classes, maybe three classes in some high schools, and not one of those kids will ever get in trouble that year, let alone a felony, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand it. And these guys are making all this money, and they ought to be able. Now, they will say, well, yeah, but people come after us, and people try to take advantage of us, and people try to do this. I just think there's just too much of this stuff going on. I really do. Now, having said that, there's a lot of stuff that NFL players do that is good. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the charity work that a lot of these guys do is unbelievable, incredible, and I think the world of it. But for a coach to slap some woman and have it already start making headline news in the New York Daily News, oh, come on, from a beat sports reporter, Manish Mehta, that's not good.
Yeah, no.
That's not good, Rex. Hello? I mean, if he's on my coaching staff, maybe he's not on my coaching staff anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's...
He used to, by the way, Thurman used to be with the Baltimore Ravens. He was a defensive backfield coach when Detroit went to the Super Bowl was in Detroit in 2006. I know that for a fact. Okay? So, there you go. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. That's Roy. That's Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey there.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
Matt is so laid back. I tell you what, Marianne Cabot, this is Mary Kay Cabot with the Cleveland. I think she's with the Plain Dealer. Johnny Manziel goes, I don't need the Browns to humble me. I just got passed up by 21 teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting seeing him.
I don't know if that's the place for him. Here's what Tony thinks. Tony thinks he's going to love the bars so much there that he'll never leave.
I mean, there's nothing to love about
Tony's
Cleveland.
Never left.
Let's be honest here. There's nothing to love about Cleveland.
Well, I don't know, man. Tony Mazur, I think he loves Cleveland.
Well, he doesn't live in Cleveland. He lives outside of Cleveland.
Well, he goes into the bars
in
Cleveland.
He goes into Cleveland.
To make money.
Right.
But then he leaves.
But it's
we got to have Tony on next week because we'll have 150 more quotes by next week.
You have to think about Johnny Manziel and who he's represented by. He's represented by the same company who represents LeBron James, who we've seen leave Cleveland for Miami, and now he comes out with his, you know, LeBron James app for your iPhone and Android. You know, I mean, there is just a media storm surrounding LeBron James, and Manziel is with the same people. Okay, he already got his Gatorade deal, and he's best friends with LeBron James, you know, and here he is starting out in the same city that LeBron James started out in. You have to wonder if Johnny Manziel, once his contract is up, is going to hop ship for, oh, I don't know, the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Johnny Manziel going forward.
Hey, we want to congratulate the New York Rangers. For those of you that think we don't talk enough about hockey, you're absolutely correct. We don't. but congratulations to the Rangers. They are the hottest team in the NHL. They probably will make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. And we all, when that happens, we'll be talking about them all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just hard for us to get excited about hockey when there's so many other things going on.
I love hockey.
I love to be at a game. I don't, if I'm not at the game, I really don't care.
I love hockey, but I covered beat for the Washington Capitals this year, so it's a little
that
hard
was
depressing.
That was depressing.
Yeah. After running a depressing season like that, it's a little hard for me to get excited for other teams. You know, especially the New York Rangers. Who look, we're on in New York, so I have a soft spot for New York teams and the New York Rangers. I got good friends who work in the organization, but at the end of the day. I wrote beat for the Capitals.
No, I hear you.
The Rangers
I hear you.
Are
well. Don't worry. Yeah, but don't worry about it. I'm still rooting for the Rangers.
Absolutely.
And I think
go
they're
going to
win. I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. And I think that's going to be a great thing for the city of New York and Madison Square Garden. We got 30 seconds left. Let me also. Brooklyn made one hell of a run, but they came up 2 points short the other night. And I will say this right now: Miami is not going to win the NBA championship. It's not going to happen. Just not going to happen.
You get Spurs.
I love the Spurs.
You like the Spurs?
I love the Spurs. Spurs win it. We'll see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Drive safe.